All right. So, like Dave said, I will be finishing off our series on everyday theology. And when Dave first asked us about it, he sent out an email and asked everybody, hey, you know, check your schedule, see if these dates work for you and stuff. And I was like, oh, yeah, sure, no problem. So I looked at it. I was like, okay, great. The date works fine. Then later on, I look at the topic, and I was just like, rest? Ew. I'm like, I don't want to do rest. And I was just thinking, man, why couldn't he ask me to do work? I like work. I'm all about doing work. But then I started thinking, isn't that my problem right there, though? That if I am to have a good theology on work, shouldn't I have a good theology on rest? And I was just sitting there kind of pondering that and like, why did I have such a knee-jerk reaction about, man, why do I have to do rest? And why do I think I know so much about work if I don't know how to rest? And so I started to look at this and see, you know, I honestly don't have a good theology on rest. So I'm actually glad Dave asked me to do this one, so that way it would form my idea on rest and what rest actually is, and to help me understand that I've actually been viewing rest wrong for, well, the majority of my life. And so I believe that for us to have a good understanding of work and rest, of work, that we have to have that good understanding of rest as well. I started reading this book that Dave lent to me to read. And it's called The Art of Rest. Now, a little disclaimer here. The author's name is Adam Mabry, not Andy. So I actually left that up there because the reason I keep thinking his name is Andy is because my son just recently started watching Toy Story often. And so, of course, I'm going to think of Andy all the time. And so I'm like, oh, yeah, his name's Andy Mabry. And it's like, then I'm just, you know, writing up my notes and everything. I'm like, oh, wait, hold up now. I'm looking at the book. It's sitting right next to me. I'm like, oh, his name's Adam, not Andy. It's like, oh, my bad, but, you know, I figured I'd just leave it in there, give my son a little shout out right there, you know. But anyways, I came across this quote here, and it kind of stuck with me, and it's like, man, that quote really speaks to me. So what he says in this book called The Art of Rest is, you won't lose anything by resting that you need to keep, and you won't gain anything by overwork that you won't one day lose. So I sat there and I thought about this for a little bit, and I'm just like, oh, I think he knows me. I think he knows that I like to work a lot, and I just don't like to rest, and I don't like to take breaks. And then I think I can gain something and not lose it, but it's like, wait a minute. Whatever I do when I work, one day it's all going to be gone, so it's okay to take a break and to rest sometimes. But the question here really lies, what is rest? And what is a good theology of rest? First, there are two aspects to rest. One is that there is the physical aspect of rest, and the second is that there is a spiritual aspect of rest. And too often we try to separate the two from each other. We don't like to leave them together. But hopefully through this lesson here, we'll see that there really is no separation between spiritual and physical rest. And to get a good idea of this, we're going to look at scripture here. We're going to take a look at Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And we're going to see where we first encounter rest. So Genesis 2, verses 1 through 3 says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested, and from all his work that he had done in creation." So the first question comes to mind is, what does it mean that God rested? Does God sleep? Does God get tired? What exactly does it mean? So here's another quote from Adam Mabry's book. See, again, I called him Andy, but Adam Mabry, in his book, says that God didn't rest because he was exhausted, but because he was exhilarated. He had worked hard to make the world. Now he is laying down the work to enjoy the world. This was the first Sabbath in the universe. The exhalation of effort was followed with the inhalation of enjoyment, fulfillment, and satisfaction within the relationship of the Trinity. So we see that rest isn't an absence of doing something, but it's a being at peace with God. Here we see, after God creates, he's now being at peace within himself, within his triune self, and enjoying what he has done. Now, this word Sabbath here, we're going to be using that often throughout this. And you may be familiar with the word. The first instance that we see this word is in Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. And so we're going to look at that real quick. It says, starting in verse 8, it says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." Now, get a little bit of disclaimer here. Just because we are talking about Sabbath or we are looking at the law here, I am not advocating for either Saturday or Sunday to always just be that single day off or not to do anything where you can't do your whatever your vocation is. You can't cook, you can't clean, you can't even use electricity. I'm not advocating for that type of break or Sabbath. We're just looking at when did we first see this instance of Sabbath here? And then this law portion here of the Sabbath itself is fulfilled in Christ. You can actually see that in Hebrews chapters 3 and 4 if you ever want to look that up. But here we're going to look at Colossians. Colossians 2, verse 16 through 17 addresses this as well. Paul says, "Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in question of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ." Now, the point that Paul is trying to make here isn't that the Sabbath has to be a particular day, but what he is saying is, who does our Sabbath point to? What is our Sabbath about? And too often in the early church, there was this argument about what particular day do we do things, or can we not do this, or we cannot do that. People even try to get mad at Jesus for healing somebody on the Sabbath. And he's like, well, don't you take care of your donkey if he falls into a hole? But what we're looking at here is that, okay, it's not a particular day that we're concerned with, but that the how we rest and who that rest is glorifying in is what we're saying. And this is something that I actually wish I understood when I was right out of high school, because my first job out of high school, I worked every single Sunday, and I felt so guilty for doing that, for working every single Sunday. I'm like, but I gotta go to church. Well, I still went to church, but it was afterward I had to go to work. And I just felt so guilty for that. But after this, I'm hoping that we all have a good understanding, a good theology of what the Sabbath is or what rest is. And if anybody ever requires you to work on a Sunday, it's okay. Don't feel guilty about it. So what we're going to look at here is now that we see what Sabbath is, we're going to look at how it was good in the beginning. In Genesis 2, this rest was good. But how did it go from being good when God resting and glorifying within himself and resting within himself? How did it go from that good to basically what it is now, where some of us just don't like to rest whatsoever? Some of us rest horribly, like we use laziness as an excuse and just say, hey, this is my rest. So how did we get from there to where we are now? And so we're going to look at a definition first of what Sabbath is, and then I'm going to show you where we went, where everything went wrong with our Sabbath. So here's this definition that we're going to go off of, and it says that the Sabbath is a time of rest holy to the Lord. It is a time given to God to receive refreshment from God. So this is what we see in Genesis 2. This was a time where it was holy, set apart to the Lord, where he was enjoying it amongst himself. And then it would talk about that he would walk on the earth with man and that we would enjoy him as well. So we ask ourselves, well, what happened? Well, the obvious answer is the fall. Sin happened. So if we look at Genesis chapter 3 next, we would see that that's what happened, is that Adam and Eve fell, sin entered into the world, and it broke everything, not just our labor or anything. It broke our rest, it broke our relationships, it broke everything that we did. And we'll see this in Romans 8, verses 20 through 22. It says, "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself will be set free from the bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now." So we see that everything in creation is now subjected to this futility. And so we'll ask, okay, what are some of these things that rest is now subjected to? How is rest broken today? And so this first example here, when we look at the things we do, we identify with it. Our first thing is that we say, I am what I do. This is a false virtue of busyness. I very much identify with this one here. Here are some of the things that we might struggle with when we're looking at this. We might think that our work is our identity. We might think that our grades are our identity. Our friends, I'm always busy with my friends. I've always got to be doing whatever with my friends, or I've always got to make the right grades, or I've always got to do everything my work ever asks of me. Another one may be my entertainment, my sports team, whatever it is. There's something that gets in our way of rest that we identify with. We say, whatever I do, this is what I am. And when we always do that, we don't rest properly because we refuse to rest. We're always busy. And I'll actually confess to this. This is something that I struggled with this week. You can just ask my wife. I get very stressed out when I have a huge list and I am not accomplishing things. I was looking at this. I'll admit, I considered talking to Dave and being like, hey, Dave, I can't do Impact Camp. I got way too much to do. I got this lesson to plan for. I have a lesson to plan for on Thursday. I got a tree down in my backyard that needs to be taken care of. My fence is over. Like, there is so much to be done. And I'm just sitting here and I'm just like, wait a minute. What lesson am I teaching on Sunday? It's a lesson on rest. Am I resting? No, because I'm identifying with my work. If I don't get this done, then people are going to think I'm lazy. Therefore, I identify with what I do. And I'm just like, no, you need to rest. You need to slow down. Because I'm finding my identity in what I do rather than whose I am. And we'll get to that later on. Number two, we sometimes use the excuse that God has given me too much to do. So what do we mean by this? It's basically the religious achiever reflex. Okay, what does that mean? That means me, for example. At one point, I had a Sunday school that I was helping lead. I had a small group that I was helping lead. I have youth that I was helping lead. Sundays and Wednesdays. So I had so much that I was doing, and now I got a Friday morning Bible study that I do. There is so much that I'm trying to achieve religiously that I do not take a break and actually get into the Word of God for myself, because I'm like, okay, I'm studying for this, 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 and this that I'm all a part of, yet I'm not setting aside time for me to personally be in the Word of God and just enjoy God or just enjoy reading the Bible. So some of those things I had to step away from because, well, I'm trying to be this religious achiever here and trying just to do all of these things just to prove something rather than understanding, no, I'm actually not resting in God because I'm trying to lead everybody in these things, which isn't bad in and of itself, but the bad part of it is that I'm not resting in God, is that I'm trying to achieve something with what I'm doing. This third one here is one that a lot of us struggle with. It's, if I stop, life just won't work out. Basically meaning, okay, Before I continue with this, I want you all to listen very carefully and not to misunderstand what I'm trying to say here. You are not as essential as you think you are, okay? This is something I had to tell myself, okay? I don't want you to hear you're not important, okay? You are, but you're more important to God than to everything else. You are more essential to God than to everything else. And so this is something I really had to tell myself is that, look, I am not as essential as I think I am. These things will continue on without me. For example, say if you all get a job and you think, hey, I'm really important to my job. I was very much an achiever at my job. My goal was always to be employee of the month. Hey, did I get it? Yes, I did. Did I do a lot of really good things? Was I everybody's favorite employee? Yes, I was. And I really achieved a lot of things. But then what was I doing? I was just after all of these achievements and thinking, hey, guess what? My job, you guys are going to miss me when I'm gone because I'm just that good. Well, let's see. That job was 16 years ago. Do they miss me today? They don't even remember who I am. That's okay. And I am fine with that because that job really wasn't as important as I thought it was. Other things that we might think that are very essential are I have to achieve the best grades possible, so I'm going to put everything else off. My school is what is my identity. So I'm going to put aside everything else for either my friends, my work, my school, whatever. All of those things have been around before you and they'll be around after you. They're not so essential to where we put God on the back burner and say, you know what, I don't have time for God because these things need my attention more than anything else. I understand that feeling. And you know, that's not the proper way to look at this. The last thing that we struggle with when it comes to this is laziness or slothfulness. We're gonna look at a verse here. It's out of Psalms. I forgot to write the reference and I forgot to put it in the slide. I'm sorry, guys. But here it is. If you want to look it up, here is the verse. I will read it to you. So the verse goes, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. So when it's referring to about a little sleep and a little slumber, that's kind of one of those things where it's like, hey, I just need a few more minutes. Just give me another minute of rest. Give me another minute of sleep. And then, well, that 1 minute turns into an hour. That hour turns into, what, two more hours or something. It's this thing where we don't do what we're supposed to do. When it refers to the folding of the hands, it's kind of this, you know, I'm just going to, you know, fold my hands up here. I'm going to refuse to do what I'm supposed to do. So these are some of the things that, you know, we wrestle with when it comes to rest. Either we don't do what we're supposed to do in order for us to rest properly, or we just refuse to do these things, or we oversleep, which, I mean, I'll tell you from experience that, hey, oversleeping actually makes you feel even more tired, and you just don't accomplish anything, and you realize, oh, man, it's already bedtime. Didn't I just sleep all day? Pretty much. But that's not the only thing that affects us in being lazy is our physical attributes, but it also affects our spiritual life. So if I'm being lazy and just don't want to do anything, well, then am I not going to church? Am I not reading my Bible? Am I not studying the Word? Am I not fellowshipping? Those are things that laziness starts getting in the way of, and that's where it starts to get into our spiritual rest, that we are actually not participating in that. So this here will lead us into the aspect of our spiritual unrest. And this last week, when I was prepping for this lesson, these last few weeks, I was actually thinking about how much it's been raining. And just sitting there before all the storms came, I was just like, man, is this ever going to stop? Are we ever going to get any kind of respite from this rain? But then all of a sudden, it starts to storm. And it starts to flood, and then tornadoes show up. Everybody starts losing trees, houses, vehicles. All this just starts piling on. And then I started to think, but isn't this like life sometimes? Where we feel like there's one burden after another burden after another burden that just keeps piling on. Like things just won't stop and it just starts weighing you down. And you just ask God, well, am I ever going to get a break? Is anything ever going to stop? And then last week, I was listening to this song that really resonated with me, especially thinking about this, about, you know, how sometimes our souls just feel so weighed down that we just can't even get any kind of rest for our souls. Some of you may know this song. The song's called Worn. It's by 10th Avenue North. It came out like 12 years ago. I was surprised when I looked it up. I was like, this song's that old. It's like, oh man. So some of the lyrics, it goes like this. So the song starts out, it says, I'm tired, I'm worn, my heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes, I've let my hope fail, my soul feels crushed by the weight of this world. It says, I know I need to lift my eyes up, but I'm too weak, life just won't let up. It says, and my prayers are wearing thin, I'm worn even before the day begins. I'm worn, I've lost my will to fight. I'm worn, so heaven, come and flood my eyes. Let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends, that you can mend a heart that's frail and torn. I want to know a song can rise from the ashes of a broken life, and all that's dead inside can be reborn. Can some of you relate to some of those, to a song like that? Where it's just like, man, I can feel that in my soul. Sometimes it feels like they're just saying what's on my mind, but if you want to know something about me, I really like music, especially music that's really introspective, because I am not a words person whatsoever. You can ask my wife. I am not great with words at all, and I can't really express, hey, what's going on in here? She's like, hey, what are you thinking? What's going on? And I'm like, oh, nothing. I'm just like, sorry, I really am, but I'm just like, I can't express it. So here, let me play this song for you. Here, this is what I'm feeling like. But that's actually what I was thinking when I was like, I was just driving around and I'm listening to this song and I'm like, man, this really, I can feel this song sometimes throughout life when troubles start coming and things just start piling on. This is kind of what these storms remind me of when we just drive around, drive down Adams and just look around and you'll see some of this devastation. And then you think, wait, this is actually, I don't want to offend anybody here, but it's not actually that bad. Because you look at some of the other storms that have happened in some of the other areas, and it's just like, wow, that's really bad. And then you just think, man, this is, sometimes my life feels this way. So what do we do when we feel this way? When we feel like, hey, my soul cannot get any rest, or I physically can't get any rest. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 tells us, this is Jesus speaking. He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. 1 Peter 5 also tells us to cast all of our anxieties and our cares on Jesus because he cares for us. Then we ask ourselves, well, how much does he care for us? Well, 1 John 4:10 says that this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for us. So the things that we addressed previously, the things such as, you know, being overly busy with religious activity, fear of missing out on something, laziness, or whatever our burdens are, we can think about those things and we can understand they don't love us like God does. They haven't given what God has given in loving us. So we ask, why do we give so much to them? Why do we give so much to these things and yet ignore God when it comes to rest? And we're just like, you know what? I don't need rest. You know, I kind of do that when I'm like, you know what? I need to rest. So what do? I go play some video games. Is that real rest? Not really, especially if I'm playing with somebody or against somebody else and they're really bad. I'm just like, oh, you're stressing me out. And then it's like, am I actually getting any kind of rest there? No, no, you're not. You're just stressing yourself out even more. So how do we stop giving to all of these things and start resting in God? Well, first of all, I'll address the foremost issue is if you are not saved, if you are not a follower of Christ, there will not be rest for you. You're going to wander through life without any kind of rest. So here's what I will invite you to. I would say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and the payment he made for you, dying on the cross and the resurrection, and him resurrecting, therefore defeating sin and death. And there you will find rest for your souls. Secondly, and here's some practical ways. The first one I'm going to say is sleep. I mean, you're like, oh, yeah, duh. I mean, obviously you need sleep to rest. But we're going to look at this in Psalm 4:8. So write this down. I'll read these verses out to you. Psalm 4:8 says, in peace I will lie down and sleep for you alone. Lord, make me dwell in safety. There is a spiritual aspect to sleep. Have you ever tried to go many, many hours without sleeping and then just pay attention to how you behave when you aren't sleeping properly? I did this one time when I was working at Kohl's in Killeen many, many years ago. And they allowed us to work straight through however many days we wanted to. And I was probably going on about 20-something hours because they're like, we'll pay you as much as you basically work. We're lifting everything, so you're going to make time and a half plus overnight pay plus all of this. And by the time it was, I can't remember what time, I started the day prior, it was probably around 10, 11 in the morning, and this customer comes up and asks myself and a coworker a question. And the coworker said something, and then the guy retorted with something mean to him, and then as soon as he like walked away, I was on top of a ladder, and I was like, watch me elbow drop this customer. And I was just like, oh, hold up now. I think I need to go home and sleep. I'm being kind of rude here and stuff. But anyways, if you ever pay attention to yourself, sometimes when you're not sleeping, you get a little bit crazy. So obviously, yes, the first part in rest is you do need sleep. A second one is read. So Matthew 4:4 says, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So yes, reading is part of rest, but specifically reading scripture, reading the Bible, be in the word. That is one of the things that we struggle with the most is, hey, just read the Bible. For me, it's hard to just read the Bible because I'm wanting to, hey, let me put this out. Let me get my study Bible. Let me start taking notes. What does this word mean? What does this word mean? It's like, hold up, slow down, just read. Just take it in. Just understand it. Just enjoy it. If you have a hard time reading, there are some wonderful apps out there that you can download and it will read to you. And you can just listen to the word. If you don't like listening to somebody read, there's this wonderful app. It's called Streetlights. And it's actually kind of like, I don't know if you're into it or not. It's kind of spoken word or hip hop. There's music to it. And they'll actually rap the word to you. It's actually kind of cool. I'm from Killeen, so of course I enjoy that. So, third one. Hey, stop mumbling. It's okay, guys. Number three, pray. The third one is pray. Oftentimes we don't think about prayer as being a part of rest. But it is. It's us communing with God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Now, this doesn't mean, pray 24/7 and just don't stop. It just means, where is your mind? Do you ever stop and consider something's going on? Maybe I should stop and pray about this. I'm stressed out. Maybe I should stop and pray. More often than not, you just see us, okay, we pray in church. We pray during a meal. Do we pray anytime after that? I'll pray when I go to bed. But do we just stop and pray? Those who are driving around, do you stop and do you pray in your car while you're driving? Do you pray when things are good, or you hear something good, Or do we just pray when something's bad or when I need something? Number four is to reflect, either think about or meditate on something. Psalm 1:2 says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night." Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." So part of rest, it isn't just to let our minds wander and just think about whatever, but do we think about the things of God? Do we memorize scripture and think about these scriptures? I will tell you, if you have some type of issue or anything that you're struggling with, I will guarantee you there is some scripture that addresses it. But not just a scripture that addresses it. Whenever somebody comes to me with an issue and says, "Hey, I'm struggling with this," what I encourage them to do is, hey, memorize scripture that tells you about who God is and what God has done specifically. And this is where we start to change our minds and start thinking about the things of God. That's Romans 12:2 tells us to renew our minds, and that's how we renew our minds, is think about who is God and what has he done for you. Number five, this first word, advocate, it's basically part of, it's not really, if you write it in into anything, it'll tell you it's the wrong word, it doesn't exist. Yes, the word exists. The A there means not at the beginning of it, so it is a not doing something that is your current job or not doing something that is your vocation. Part of rest is actually doing things with your hands. So what we encourage people is, hey, do something that you enjoy that isn't your job. And then the other one is recreate. It's purely playful. Say like going on vacation or going to a theme park or whatever. Basically enjoy some type of recreation. 1 Timothy 4, 4-5 says, "For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer." So this is basically saying, go enjoy things. You can do that. That is part of rest, is enjoying things and just not always work. That's my struggle. I like to work a lot. Go take a break. Take some time off. Go enjoy things. This one's one of my favorites. Eat. I mean, yes, eating is part of rest. Ecclesiastes 2:24-25 says, "There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God, for apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment?" So enjoy that meal after you've worked. Enjoy the meal as part of your rest. This is a good thing. Some of us kind of look at food sometimes as like, you know what, I don't need that big of a variety. It's just for fuel. It's just like, no, we're in Texas. Go enjoy some barbecue, guys. It's good stuff. Last one here, 7. Sing. Okay, I am not a singer, so this one was kind of awkward for me. I'll listen to music. How about that? We'll do that. So Psalm 105, verses 2-4 says, "Sing to him, sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually." I'm going to add a little caveat to this. So when we were talking about singing or enjoying song, we were talking specifically about that which points us to God, talks about who he is, what he's done, things like that. So I'm going to give a couple of examples of what is not the type of music that we rest in. I'm going to offend a lot of people here. You all know where I'm going. Taylor Swift is not resting. I'll continue. Eminem is not resting. Kendrick Lamar is not resting. So on and so forth, okay? Anyways. What we're talking about here, when we're talking about song or to sing as in rest, we are talking specifically about what are you filling your minds with? I'm not saying, hey, you can't listen to this music, but when if you are looking to rest, what is this music telling you about? What is it filling your mind with? So if I'm looking to rest, I'm not going to go to, say, so-and-so or whoever. Like, for me, I enjoy 80s rock. I'm not going to go to that if I want to rest, because let's be honest, a lot of it's not good. If you just put it on a random playlist, you're just kind of like, Let me skip that song real quick, because what is it filling my mind with? Is it filling my mind with the things of the Lord? No, probably not. But I'll also add another caveat. We also need to be careful with whatever we want to say is quote-unquote Christian music. Because even sometimes Christian music isn't edifying to you or to God. Sometimes it makes it too much about yourself rather than about God. So if I'm always considering myself and thinking about myself, am I really resting? Because what resting is resting in God and who he is and what he has done. So with that, it is 11:58. I think we have a few minutes for our questions. So you all are dismissed to your questions.